Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today with my friend, Gail Summers. We've been discussing women, mothering, working outside the home, and in our last discussion, we touched on that very difficult question of what a woman is to do who wants to be submissive to her husband and wants to be obedient to the Word of God, but her husband is insisting on her getting a job outside the home. And you suggested, Gail, that she can pray and ask God for another solution. Does the Bible say anything which would have any bearing on this question, Gail?
I believe, actually, there's a wonderful passage in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, that does speak very specifically to the idea of a woman caught in the bind of having to obey her husband. Let's imagine a husband who wants his wife to work and the woman knowing that it's really not the best thing, not the thing she wants to do, and it's not really the thing that the Scriptures indicate is what she should be doing. But she does know that she is to be the submissive wife. Let's read this and see what's here. "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." Now, I think there that Peter does have in mind a situation where perhaps a husband would want his wife to do something that she either didn't like or didn't think was right. But he is using Sarah as an example here of one who obeys her husband and does not give way to fear, but really entrusts herself into God's keeping. And I think that this is a very helpful example for anybody who's facing a similar situation in her own life. And it's really giving way to fear that we're most likely to do when we have stacked up all the reasons why we don't want to do the thing that maybe our husband wants us to do. The very last word would be, "I'm afraid. I am afraid." And what Peter is suggesting here is that God, having ordained the relationship the way it is perfectly capable of caring for that woman, and she does not have to give way to fear. And I think that the reason that the example of Sarah is so helpful is that when you look back at the story of Sarah, Abraham did ask Sarah on two occasions to do a really repugnant thing, and that was to pretend that she was his sister and not his wife. And she was taken in and made the wife of the local ruler, and it happened two different places. Now, I mean, it only takes a little bit of imagination to see what that must have been like for Sarah. But her husband, who feared for his life and for her life, he really feared for their welfare, told her to pretend that she was his sister. And she did it. And as a result, God really, I believe, honored her obedience in that he spared Sarah and Abraham. The evil was uncovered and it was punished. It was not as if God didn't know that that was the wrong thing. The evil was uncovered, it was punished, and Sarah was restored to Abraham. And Sarah's obedience there, I believe, is used as an example. Now, I want to hasten to say that what the example here is Sarah, not Abraham, because I could imagine women there shrinking and saying, "Oh my goodness, well, what if my husband wants me to do this? Something that's not just unwise, but immoral, perhaps. What if my husband wanted me to do that?" Peter is not suggesting suggesting here that Abraham had the commendable behavior. He is suggesting that Sarah had the commendable behavior. So that we want to learn from the one that we're supposed to learn from, namely Sarah, and not the one that really whose behavior is not held up to us as an example, and that's Abraham. But I think here that any woman who's afraid of the consequences of obeying her husband could take comfort from this passage, because God has not forgotten those women, and He is perfectly capable of caring for them and their families.
Do you know any cases, Gail, in which this kind of situation has arisen now in contemporary times, and
right,
God
has proved
Himself faithful?
Right. I can think of one woman I knew from a Bible study who had a young child and was pregnant with another one. And really, from the beginning, she didn't ever want to work. But her husband was concerned about their finances, and he insisted that she work part-time. She was a chemistry teacher. And so he basically insisted that she continue working at the job, and she didn't want to do it, but she did do it, and she did it on the basis of knowing that she was responsible to do that, to be the obedient, submissive wife. But at the same time, she did commend the thing to God and prayed and asked God to do something, and the something that God did was to give her husband a better paying job. He changed jobs. He was paid better for the new job. She was able then to quit her job, and I think that probably the family life was a lot happier as a result of her staying home, and her husband did have a change of heart and never asked his wife to go back to work. He did subsequently lose that good-paying job, and they were in poor financial straits again, but he didn't ask his wife, he never asked his wife to go back to work again. I think that he had learned the lesson and realized that his wife really did need to be at home with the children. In fact, that family now is even doing foster care, taking children into their home. And so I would say that that's a happy outcome of someone who suffered. And I watched her suffer. This didn't happen overnight. This took a few years. And it was not an easy thing, and she did suffer. But God honored her obedience the way He honored Sarah's. And I think that gives us hope.
Brings us back to what I keep saying in every way I can possibly say it on this program: trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Mm-hmm. And it is just thrilling to see the ways in which God does fulfill His promises. He has promised to supply all our needs, hasn't He?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gail, in that passage in 1 Peter, he describes what a woman's spirit should be like.
Mm-hmm.
Were you born with the kind of spirit Peter describes there?
No. This has always been a very shocking verse to me, because the last thing that could ever be said about me was that I was gentle and quiet. That is not my personality. And of course, the logical question for me here is, well, does that mean that I can't be me? Does that mean that I am no longer recognizable as Gail Summers? Do I have to become someone I'm not? Which I guess is I suppose it must be the greatest fear of modern man, that he might have to be something other than what he actually is. So that I have given a lot of thought to this verse and asked myself that question. I think now, having been married 10 years to a man who actually is a quiet person and a very calm person and very different from me, that I understand what Peter is talking about here, because I think that at those crucial times when decisions have to be made, there are two paths for a woman to take. Either she can go on the path of yelling and screaming and being very obvious about what she thinks is the right thing to do.
Or maybe preaching him little sermons.
Preaching away and just being anything but quiet. I don't mean to say that a husband is going to make a decision without ever referring to what his wife thinks or feels. I'm not saying that. But she can also take the path of quietness and let the man do what the man must do. And I think, actually, that is what Peter is talking about here, that women should be willing, not that they're always gentle and quiet in conversation and in life, in social settings, but that when it comes down to their relationship with their husbands, in that crucial moment where the husband does have to make a decision, where he has to exercise his role as the head of the home, that the woman, instead of harping and preaching and going on, can stop and let the man do what he must do. And that willingness to do that, I think is very beautiful in God's sight, because really it is a restraining, it's a laying down of what we are for the sake of the one that God has given us to. It is that restraint and that laying down with the confidence and with the lack of fear that this is not going, I don't have to stand here preaching and crying and screaming to get my way. I can let my husband know what I think and then let the man do what he must do. And I think now, being 10 years down the road of marriage, that this must delight God when he sees it happening.
Well, it says right in that passage, doesn't it, that this gentle and quiet spirit is a thing very precious in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it is the work of grace, because mm-hmm. I have yet to meet a woman who admits that she was born with a meek and quiet spirit.
I agree.
I asked you if you're one of them. You said you're not. Well, I certainly am not one of them. And I have occasionally asked for a show of hands in an audience. How many of you were born with a meek and quiet spirit? There's never a hand.
No.
So we need the grace of God, don't we? Well, our mm-hmm. time is up again. Gail, thank you so much for being with us. This has been Gail Summers talking with us about women and working and what it means to be submissive to our husbands and obedient to God.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.